in our new city catechism. Let me give you a warm welcome if you've just been joining with us in the last couple of minutes while I've been chatting away and just filling blank space. But it is really good to have you with us, and I hope that you and your family are all well. And please, just as a reminder, please know that as pastors in the life of your church, John, myself, we are very much here for you. And if there's anything that you're struggling with at the moment, please don't hesitate to pick up the phone and to get in touch. We are here to be able to serve our church at this time, and as leaders right across three congregations seeking to serve all of us at this time, as we also seek to serve one another. But please don't struggle on your own. If you are finding things difficult, hard, please do take the opportunity to pick up the phone and to get in touch. Well, this evening we're going to be picking up from where we left off last week. Alan was unpacking the question of what does the law of God require from us? There was a few audio and technical issues with that last week. If you haven't had a chance to go back and listen to that again, the full audio is on the website, and the audio doesn't have any sort of jumps and issues with it. So please do go back and listen to that if you've not had the chance to, because there was some hugely valuable stuff in there, and things that apply very much to what we're looking at tonight. But I'm obviously not going to go back and repeat that. I'm going to encourage you to take time to listen again to that if you haven't had a chance to already. But as we move on with our study this evening, let me pray for us, and then we'll get into God's word tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our wonderful and glorious God, the one who is majestic, holy, perfectly holy in all of your ways. There is none like you. There is none who has a character like you. There is none who is perfect in their judgments as you are. None that is perfect in love as you are. None that is merciful and gracious as you are. None that is perfectly steadfast and faithful as you are. Lord, you are majestic in all of your ways, and we give you thanks. We give you praise that we are part of your family, that we have been adopted into your family, and we give you thanks for the law that you give to us. We praise you that you've not left us to try and guess what you would like from us and what you ask of us. But instead, Father, you have shown us how to live lives that please you, how to live lives that honour you, and how to live lives that give us great joy and great satisfaction. You've shown us the way to life, life in all of its fullness. And that is to have life with you and to follow in all of your ways, your statutes and your commands. So, Father, tonight as we get into your word this evening, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would teach us, and that, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, all that we think about this evening would not simply be thoughts in our mind, but it would stir up in us, in our hearts, great worship and great praise. In Jesus' name, amen. What I said last week, Alan unpacked the question, what does the law of God require of us? And it begins the answer with the three P's: personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience. That we love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and love our neighbour as ourselves. What God forbids should never be done, and what God commands should always be done. And Alan took us through that last week, and as Alan said, over the next number of weeks, we are going to be thinking about God's law and the purpose of it, and how it applies to our lives today, and how it works as God's law in the lives of New Testament believers, as those who live in the New Covenant. And tonight, we're going to zoom right in on the Ten Commandments. The law, when it's spoken about in Scripture, is a broad term. Paul describes the whole Old Testament as the law and the prophets. That's how he sums up the whole of the Old Testament, is to talk about the law and the prophets. The law can also refer to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, or the books of Moses, as they may also be known. And part of God's good and gracious law is given to us in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, very familiar, I'm sure, to all of us, and even to non-believers. The Ten Commandments would be something that would be familiar, at least to some degree, even when we teach the kids in the primary school. Very often, the Ten Commandments is there's an understanding there of the kind of things that they would expect to find in the Ten Commandments, or as it's also known, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue. So to start with this evening, I've got a little challenge for you. How many of the Ten Commandments can you remember? That is, without opening your Bible to Exodus 20, how many of the Ten Commandments can you remember? I'm going to give you a wee chance just now to think about that. You're maybe on your own, or you're maybe with folks. You can do that as a little quiz, see who can remember the most. You've got about 30 seconds, so off you go. How many of the Ten Commandments can you remember? Got 10 fingers, so you can try and count them as you go. Quite frustrating when you start to get to 8 or 9 and you can't quite remember what the other one or two is. One in there about murder. It's probably a dad sitting in the living room just now who's saying, has everybody remembered the one about honouring your father and mother? Everybody remembered that one? Everyone got it? Well, our question tonight is focused on the Ten Commandments. And we're going to unpack these more in future weeks, but it's my job tonight to introduce them to us as we think about the Ten Commandments. So our question this evening is, what is the law of God stated in the Ten Commandments? What is the law of God stated in the Ten Commandments? And our answer is, in the most part, the Ten Commandments. There's a few different bits just added in for clarification, but on the most part, what we have is the Ten Commandments. So here is the answer. I've broken it into two slides. So the first four commandments, and then the second six. So the first four, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So we'll focus on these four just for a little moment, and hopefully you will be able to have a wee look over them. And in just a second, I'm going to take that away, and there'll be a few words missing. We'll just focus on these four just now before we look at the second six. Okay, so you've hopefully had a wee chance to look over that. Let me take some of those words away. You shall have what me? Hopefully just now you're saying, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself what? Anything in heaven above or what, or on the below. You shall not to them or worship them. I think those 3.5 lines are probably the trickiest ones to try and remember. Hopefully you're reading that one as, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. The third one there, you shall not misuse the what God, or it is the name of the Lord your God. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And in the final one in the slide there, what have you to remember? Remember the what by keeping it what? Lots of what's here. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Hopefully what you've got. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. We'll look at the next six. Honour your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. And you shall not covet. I'll give you a little minute just to look at those. And then again, I'll remove some words to see how we're doing remembering it. Okay, take some words away. What, father and your mother? This is the elbow nudging moment when the parents just make sure their kids are paying attention. Honour, hopefully you're saying honour your father and your mother. After that, you shall what? After honouring your father and your mother, the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. You shall not what in the seventh commandment? You shall not commit adultery. The eighth commandment is very straightforward for you. There's no blanks there. You shall not steal. The ninth commandment, what have you not to give? You shall not give what? False testimony. You shall not give false testimony. And in the final commandment, you what? In the final commandment, you shall not covet. That's right. Hopefully you're getting those and picking those up. So the answer is very much for this week, follow the Ten Commandments. And the next four studies are going to unpack these laws a few at a time. And my job tonight isn't to get into any of the individual commandments. I don't want to steal anyone's thunder for future weeks. But instead, it's to introduce the Decalogue to us. And to introduce it to us this evening, I wanted us to look at the instructions to, sorry, not the instructions, at the introduction to the Ten Commandments. Because very often when we think about the Ten Commandments, one of the things we can be tempted to do is to take this set of laws and to rip it out of its context. But actually, in Exodus 20, we get the Ten Commandments. But in Exodus 19, we get a full introduction to the Ten Commandments. And I hope tonight that you will see that these laws are given in the context of relationship and in the context of worship. The Ten Commandments do not stand alone. They aren't something that we should rip out of the Bible and keep apart from the rest of Scripture. Sometimes we can do that, we can read them in isolation. But when we do that, we run the serious risk of misunderstanding God's purpose behind giving His law to His people. So let us read a few verses just now from Exodus chapter 19. And if you've got your Bibles, you might want to have a look at this, and you may want to spend some time over the course of this week just looking at Exodus 19 and 20 in more detail yourselves. But here's the first six verses of Exodus chapter 19. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called out to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." Well, God brings the people from Egypt where they've been slaves for 400 years. He rescues them out of Egypt in the Exodus, and he brings them into the wilderness of God, and they've been into the wilderness, and God has been with his people, leading his people through the wilderness, and they've been there now for a couple of months. And God brings them to Mount Sinai. You see, what God says as he speaks in verse 4 is he explains to them that these people have already seen what he has done. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. See, this is the introduction to God giving his law. The introduction to God giving the Decalogue is this great reminder that God has already brought them in eagle's wings. God has already rescued them out of Egypt. God has already saved them, and he's already brought them to himself. The rescue out of Egypt predates the giving of the Ten Commandments. God saving his people and bringing that people to himself predates the giving of the Ten Commandments. Because you see, it speaks to us in verse 3 and tells us that this is the house of Jacob, the descendants of Abraham, the heirs of the promise. Not a promise that was earned through obedience to the law. That's not how it worked. That's Paul's argument when he speaks to the Galatians. He says a promise was made to Abraham long before the law was given. But they become God's people because God has chosen them. God's not chosen them, he tells them elsewhere, because we are the strongest or the most impressive or anything else. But he has chosen them that they might be his special nation, that they might be his special treasure. See there in verse 5, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know, God gives this covenant. It's what he's doing here. He's making a covenant with the people. He's renewing that covenant once again with his people. And as he does that, part of the covenant is the giving of the Ten Commandments. Now, the covenant that is given with Moses follows what is a very common covenant style in ancient Near Eastern cultures. What used to happen is when one large nation was coming into alliance with a smaller nation, they would put together this treaty, this covenant, and this treaty would basically go along the lines of saying, you know, I am the king of this very powerful nation. You are this small nation. My army could have wiped you out, but we didn't. This is what we require of you. You will give us this, you will pay us this, and et cetera, et cetera. And in exchange, as long as you do those things, then we won't send our army to come and wipe you out. That was very much how it was structured, and there were blessings and curses and all of that within these treaties of the time. And archaeology has allowed us to actually get an insight into a lot of these treaties of the time. And what we see in Exodus 19:20 and following is as God renews his covenant, it follows a very similar type of pattern. As God identifies himself as Yahweh, as the Lord. And he reminds the people of all that he has done for them. What we find in this section is not strictly legislation listed in bullet points of, you know, this. But instead we get this great rich story, this great backstory of all that God has done for these people and all that God is seeking to do with these people and making them into a wonderful holy nation. And as part of that, he says, because you are my people, because you are my people, these are the commands that you will live by. And later on in the Pentateuch, we get the blessings and the curses and everything that comes when the people do follow all that God has commanded, and then what will happen when they don't. See, God reminds the people of the basis of their covenant. You see, what's so important as we get into the Ten Commandments is that they are to be obeyed. As we were learning last week, they are to be perfectly, personally, and perpetually obeyed. But we must also remember that as what the Ten Commandments are, as they explain what is expected of them because they are God's people, not what is expected of them in order for them to become God's people. See, God doesn't give the Ten Commandments and say, I expect perfect obedience to all of these and then you're in. Instead, he says, I've rescued you. I'm making you into a holy nation, a treasured possession. And because we are in this relationship, because we are in this covenant relationship together, this is how you are to obey and follow, and this is how you are to live. Because it is by keeping the covenant and living in obedience that they will be God's treasured possession, a holy nation. The New Testament picks up on this very idea in 1 Peter. 1 Peter writes and says, Peter writes in 1 Peter and he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, Peter here is explaining that these people are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But who's Peter talking about? He's talking about all who are in Christ. Peter's picking up on this language that is rich in the Mosaic Covenant and is applying it to both those of Jewish origin who believe in Jesus and to those of Gentile origin who have also now come to living faith in Christ. And he says, you are a chosen race. This is who you are. You have been chosen by God. You've been chosen that you might be a holy nation, that you might be a people who are set apart for God's purpose to live according to his will and according to his ways. This is why you exist. But notice the verses that come straight after these. Because as Peter describes that we're a chosen race, a holy nation, he then comes on immediately to link that into how we live. And he urges us not to follow the passions of the flesh, but instead to keep your conduct honourable, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. You see, by keeping the covenant and living in obedience, what we do is we glorify God, and our lives are an example for those who are watching and who do not yet believe. You see, when God gives us his moral law in the Ten Commandments, he's not requiring us to do something that goes completely against our nature. But instead, as Alan said last week, to live according to the pattern of our Creator, in whose image we have been made, to live in the way that God has outlined for us, is actually to live life in all its fullness. It's to live life in the way that it was intended to be lived. And when we do that, our lives are a witness to unbelievers. So I want us to see that the commandments that are given out of that covenant relationship. In fact, all rules are given out of relationship of some kind or another. Even when our government makes laws, it comes out of a relationship that is specified in our electoral code. People have elected us, and therefore we are mandated to make these laws. There's a relationship that exists. In our homes, if you have house rules in the house, you maybe have these for kids. Maybe your house rules have been tightened up over lockdown. There's maybe been additional house rules added over lockdown. Husbands, maybe you find that house rules now apply to you under lockdown. But they come out of relationship. You don't have to keep the rules in order to get in the house. Because you are part of the house, part of the family, this is how you behave. Maybe the phrase has been used over lockdown in your house, my rules. Well, it comes out of relationship. But it also comes out of worship. Let me read another few verses from Exodus chapter 19, verses 9 to 11. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." So as R.C. Sproul says, the context of the Ten Commandments are redemption, relationship, covenant, and worship. Because you see, we can think of the Ten Commandments as legislation, a list of do's and don'ts. But what is the response to God's law? Think back to last week. What is the response to God's law? Obedience, and to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbour. We could sum up the response to God's law in two words: loving obedience. It's loving obedience out of a heart of worship. And God did not even give his people the Ten Commandments until they had consecrated themselves as an act of worship for 3 days. And only after they had done that did God appear to Moses on Mount Sinai as a theophany. A theophany is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. And God appears to Moses in fire, and a dense, dense smoke covered the mountain. The 10 words are written on tablets of stone. The first 4 of them, in our answer from this evening, speak about our obedience to following God. The second 6 of them speak about how we are to relate to our neighbour. But of course we know that even to break the commandments about how we are to treat our neighbour is to sin against God. It's not simply to say, well, if I keep the 4 but relate to God, then I'm doing okay. As John Yeats says, the 10 commandments are a love gift to us from God. Because you see, it comes out of this relationship. This relationship and this worship. God gives these 10 commandments that are set apart that we might know life in all its fullness. And it's these 10 commandments that we're going to be unpacking in future. So let me take a little moment and we'll just recap that question and answer one more time, and then we'll bring tonight's study to a close. What is the law of God stated in the 10 commandments? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow to them. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honour your father and your mother. You shall not commit adultery. Sorry, first of all, you shall not murder. Then you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. And you shall not covet. I want to read a little quote from John Yeats. And your homework this week is obviously to think through that question and that answer. And it is a long answer, so you might want to go into the New City Catechism website and just be reminded of that answer and be able to read through that in more detail and just continue to think about that. But I also want you to listen to this quote that I'm just going to read just now. And I want you this week to ponder this quote, to think about this quote, and to ask yourself if this is really true of the way you think about the Ten Commandments. Because I think sometimes when we think about the Ten Commandments, we can sometimes think that they're just there to show us how sinful we are. And We don't need to think about them now because Jesus has dealt with sin. And that's a wholly wrong and unhelpful way to think or not to think about the Ten Commandments. John Yeats says this, and I want you to think if this is true for you. The commandments are our treasure. We cherish them. They're a great gift, a love gift from God. They guide us, warn us, and protect us. When we keep them, we show others what God is like. Certainly preparing for tonight been a challenge for me to think again about the Ten Commandments. To think, are they really something I cherish? Something I love? Something that I'm so thankful to God for? There's plenty there for us to think about over this coming week. As we close just now, I want us to pray together, and there's a little prayer just on the screen here just now. And what I love to do is just wherever you are, let's pray these words out loud together. Let's pray. Holy God, you showed your love to us, your people, by giving us your commands. May we always give thanks for your law. Thank you for not leaving us ignorant of how to walk in the way of righteousness. Help us to glorify you by obeying your Ten Commandments. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us tonight. I trust that you've found tonight's study helpful, and I trust that you're finding these studies through the New City Catechism helpful and beneficial. Please do continue to think about these things, continue to pray through these things and work through these things in the course of the week. We look forward to joining together again on Sunday morning as we continue our series in Hebrews. Until then, the Lord bless. Take care.